From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. Since mid-January, a dozen staff and patients at a Juneau nursing home have tested positive for COVID-19. But while Wildflower Court caters exclusively to people who are among the most likely to get very sick or die from the virus, staff say nearly everyone who has tested positive has been symptom-free. By tomorrow, everyone will be fully recovered. Medical experts attribute that primarily to the COVID-19 vaccines. Nearly 80% of the people who live and work in the facility have been at least partially vaccinated. KTOO's Rasha McChesney reports on what we can learn from this facility about what outbreaks might look like as more and more Alaskans are vaccinated.
The outbreak at Wildflower Court started in mid-January. So far, they've found a dozen cases among residents and staff. Emily Murley is the director of nursing, and she says morale among residents is pretty good.
I think the initial reaction is shock, especially for the vaccinated folks. And there's just kind of like sort of a sense of resignation that, like, of course this is happening now.
What makes this cluster of cases at Wildflower Court so interesting is not that it happened, but how it happened. Dr. Sar Medoff is an emergency room physician in Anchorage and Nome, and he also works for the state of Alaska's Division of Public Health. Think of him as an on-call doctor for the state's 700-ish nursing homes and psychiatric facilities. He says he hopes that what happened at Wildflower Court is the canary in the coal mine for what outbreaks will look like going forward.
That we will still have outbreaks in facilities, but the higher the percentage of the population is vaccinated and the higher the percentage of residents and staff that are vaccinated, the smaller and less severe these outbreaks will be moving forward.
Medoff says this particular outbreak is interesting because of the mix of people. Some had gotten both doses of a COVID-19 vaccine, some had gotten just one, and some had not yet been vaccinated at all. The way that the vaccines work is that they keep people from getting severe cases of COVID-19. And by all accounts, they're doing what they're supposed to do at Wildflower Court.
What the studies did not look at is whether or not someone who has been vaccinated is able to become infected with COVID. And maybe it's infected at a low level, such a low level that they don't develop any symptoms. However, they are still able to transmit the virus to others.
Essentially, people who are vaccinated could be carriers for the virus, even if they don't become sick from it. Both Medoff and the Wildflower Court administrators say there are some other things that could have happened to explain the outbreak. The first is that there's a possibility that the people who got sick didn't have a strong immune response to the COVID-19 vaccine. The Pfizer vaccine is 95% effective, but that still leaves 5% of people whose immune systems just won't respond as strongly to the vaccine. Or, Emily Murley says, it could have been a timing issue.
It's likely that the folks that tested positive and had received their second vaccine were exposed in between their second dose and being considered fully inoculated.
And timing is important with the vaccines. There are two vaccines used in Alaska, and both require two doses, and there are weeks between the first and the second dose. And then even after the second dose, it takes some time for your body to learn how to fully guard against COVID-19. Medoff says you can think about it like your immune system having short-term and long-term memory. So the first vaccine gives your immune system that boost to short-term memory, but that second dose really cements the long-term memory. At Wildflower Court, it's not clear when the first person who had COVID-19 brought it into the facility and it started circulating around.
So they may have been within that window where they were infected before the body could build its immune response.
And there is a third possibility. And that one is that people at Wildflower Court may have been infected with a strain of COVID-19 that vaccines aren't as effective at fighting. Those vaccines were developed before new strains of the virus popped up in South Africa and Brazil. And there's some evidence that the Pfizer vaccine may be less effective against those strains.
What the jury is still out on is how effective these vaccines are going to be against these new strains. All science to this point shows that we think the vaccines will be effective and we think they will provide some measure of protection against these variant strains, but we just don't know yet how effective the vaccines will be.
Neither of those strains of COVID-19 has been detected in Alaska yet, but they could be here. Right now, the state is only looking for different strains in a tiny fraction of its positive COVID-19 tests. In an interview right after the wildflower court outbreak was discovered, the state's chief medical officer said they will test to see which strain infected the wildflower court population, but results from that analysis haven't been released yet. In the meantime, wildflower court will continue to test twice a week until they don't have any more positive cases, and they're gearing up for another round of vaccinations. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Relief programs are starting to pop up, funded by the bill Congress passed at the end of the year, which included at least $200 million for rent relief for Alaskans. It's specifically for lower-income households financially impacted by COVID-19. The bucket of federal cash is so big, state housing officials think there's enough to pay rent for everyone eligible for a year. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Alexis Ross Miller has been unemployed throughout the pandemic.
I'm waiting with bated breath and fingers crossed for the third stimulus check of hopefully $1,400. Mm. And Biden was talking about raising the pandemic unemployment or just in general. So, you know, it all helps.
She's been getting by mostly on unemployment assistance, but she's behind on her rent for a two-bedroom condo in Juneau. Here she is, just after learning about a new rental assistance program that could wipe out her back rent and help her for months going forward.
I think this is the miracle I have been praying for.
This relief program is a big deal for Miller and thousands of other Alaskans.
It really is, because when we were administering our CARES Act program last year, we were able to provide 2 months of assistance to people that had lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic.
Brian Butcher is the executive director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. The state-owned entity is going to help put out 20 times more money for rent relief now than it got for housing grants in Congress's original pandemic relief bill.
And what we really saw was that many people had needs far beyond a couple of months, 6 months, 8 months. You know, they'd lost their job in March and hadn't been able to get the job back.
Butcher says this program will help the overall economy recover, too, once the pandemic is behind us.
Instead of having this huge burden of many, many months of rent owed that they have to be dealing with.
The details of the rent relief program are still being worked out, but the broad strokes are clear. Renters can get up to 15 months of assistance with their housing and utility bills. It's good for back rent and overdue utility bills since March and going forward. There's an income cutoff that varies depending on where you live. To be eligible in Anchorage, for example, a household, regardless of how many people are in it, cannot earn more than $77,840 a year. And applicants must be able to show they were financially impacted by COVID-19. The application period will open at 8 a.m. February 16th. An eligibility checker is live now at alaskahousingrelief.org. And there's even more money for similar rent relief programs on its way to tribes and tribally designated housing entities. The ones in Alaska are collectively eligible for up to $115 million. Colleen Dushkin is the executive director of the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities, which works with the regional housing authorities that serve Alaska tribes. For the renting public, she says it shouldn't matter much which pot of money their relief ultimately comes from.
Whatever happens, everybody's going to be served. And the pots of money is figured out in the back end. The public needs to know that if you need help, you can get help.
She says the timeline for tribal entities standing up their rental relief programs with this money will vary. Down the road, both Butcher and Dushkin say they're looking to Congress and the new Biden administration for housing relief to help a broader swath of Alaskans, including homeowners. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
In other news, the Anchorage Assembly will consider a resolution this week to formally recognize Assemblymember Jamie Allard's statements defending a pair of Nazi-themed license plates as a, quote, breach of the public trust. Last month, after photos of two Alaska plates that read Führer and Three Reich circulated on social media, Allard argued on Facebook that both terms are simply German words with no offensive connotations. Her statements caused a social media backlash, and Governor Mike Dunleavy subsequently removed her from her position on the Alaska Human Rights Commission. The resolution submitted by Assemblymember Meg Zalatel states Allard used her official social media platform to, quote, defend language unequivocally associated with Nazis. Allard did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And a disaster declaration intended to aid Alaska's response to the COVID-19 pandemic is set to expire this weekend unless state lawmakers act to extend it. Health and emergency officials warn a failure to extend it could restrict the state's ability to distribute vaccines and set back progress in combating the illness. 3 weeks into the legislative session, the politically divided House has yet to organize. Members of the Republican-led Senate have chafed at the proposed length of the extension through September. They're looking at whether they can provide the tools Governor Mike Dunleavy needs to respond separate from a just declared disaster. This is KTOO News.